Welcome to the Preservation Technology Podcast, the show that brings you the people and projects that are bringing innovation to preservation. I'm Kevin Ammons with the National Park Service's National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. Today we join NCPTT's Jason Church as he speaks with Kathy McGee and Michiko Agachi. In this podcast, they talk about McGee and Agachi's efforts in conserving six original Captain American comic books.
Well, we did the project as interns at the Library of Congress. We were both there as third-year graduate fellows, so it's a part of our graduate education to do a third-year externship for our conservation degrees, and we had both gone to the Library of Congress. I was in the rare book lab, and Michiko was in the paper lab, and this was kind of a joint project between labs, which happens sometimes. It was the curator who approached conservation?
Well, the supervisor,
okay.
Claire Deagle, who's a senior book conservator. I think she thought it was a good joint project to do for us, mm-hmm. and that's how she brought it to us. But it mm-hmm. originally came from the serials division, who takes care of the comic books at the Library of Congress.
Mm-hmm. So Library of Congress has thousands. How many hundreds of thousands?
131,000.
A lot of comic books. And I don't know how many have been treated, but not many.
Not many. I believe not many come to the conservation division.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. This was kind of a pilot project for the lab, in a way. One of their hopes for us was to have us develop a sort of protocol for addressing the materials. Most of the comic books are printed on newsprint, which is extremely acidic. I think most people know it doesn't age well at all. They can be quite fiddly to repair. Some of the challenges are getting tide lines in the paper. So if you use an adhesive that has a lot of water in it, if it dries, you end up with these rings, these visible rings of degradation products that form around where the water was. And that's an aesthetic that we want to avoid. We don't want to cause those. And then the other challenge is just handling the paper can be extremely delicate. Newsprint, as it ages, tends to start cracking and then flaking, and little pieces will just break off. So they are a real challenge to conserve, which is probably one of the reasons why not many of them came to life.
Yeah, and also the important thing is that the treatment has to be streamlined mm. because there are multiple pages in each comic book, so that was also an important factor to consider when
they end up being very time consuming because there are 64 pages in a comic book.
Yeah.
So the project that we were given were six comic books. They were the first six printed Captain America comic books from 1941. So it's not the original art, it's just the printed comic books. They had been stapled together through the spine. So each comic book is its own section of newsprint stapled through the fold. And then those six books had been stapled through the spine with these big, heavy-duty staples. That, I think there were 10 of them. And then that sort of makeshift text block was glued into a case binding. So it's a really common library style binding that's cloth covered and was really only bound with adhesive. And getting that off was fairly easy because it was practically falling off because the glue had decomposed. But getting the comic books apart was one of the first steps. So one of our supervisors, Claire Deagle, did that part by gently lifting the legs of the staples and she kind of sawed them off because we didn't want to just lift comic books up because we really feared we would continue to damage them. And then once they were apart, we could really see that the staples had obviously caused a lot of perforations in the spine. And
you couldn't open the comic book from its natural binding because of the staples.
That's why yeah. we had disbound them in the first place. So we should backtrack a little and yeah. say that the intention of this project was to treat these as research materials. They're obviously not circulating, but they are requested by researchers really frequently to be viewed. And the researchers get to sit in the reading rooms and leaf through the comic books. And they could not do that with these books in this state because the paper was very fragile and the binding, these six things stapled together, it couldn't open wide enough to be read fully. And we really feared that if somebody tried to force it open, they'd end up causing a lot of damage. So the curator really wanted these in a state where they could be handled safely by researchers. And so,
and also because it's the Library of Congress, it does have to be accessible to the public.
It is.
That's
their
also
their mission.
Important
Did you know the history of those bindings?
No. I don't think we ever knew who did that. I don't think it was believed that that happened at Library of Congress. Elsie has been known to rebind things in library bindings, and lots of libraries do that, where the books are meant to be more functional than art pieces. Yeah. So,
but I believe most comic books are stored the way they come, and so...
Yeah, that happens in conservation. You end up discovering some work someone else did, and you have no idea who, but you're silently cursing them, whoever they are.
So once you got the bindings apart, what was the treatment for the individual comic books?
So the papers exhibited a lot of tears, losses. We weren't going to fill the losses because that would have been too time-consuming, and visually just bridging it would have been enough. Mm-hmm. So it was mostly mending the tears so that they could be handled again.
We'd call it stabilization.
Yes.
Rather than aesthetic compensation.
Yes.
And for that we used a solvent reactivated tissue that Michiko and I developed. That was our main role in this development of the protocol for treating these things, because I mentioned the tidelines, and Claire Deagle had done some testing on the inks and discovered that some of them were soluble in or sensitive to water or ethanol. So we didn't want to just put down, you know, wheat starch pastements, and we didn't want to use a paper that was too thick because that obscures the media. We need these to be legible. And we also needed something that would flex, so we had to find the right adhesive. And we have a standard set of adhesives that are pretty common in almost every paper lab. I can give you a list of those. That includes wheat starch paste and methyl cellulose and some other things, synthetic adhesives. And so we tried a number of those. Library of Congress Conservation makes its own repair tissues ahead of time, just in bulk, because we go through them so much. So we had tried some of those with different adhesives, and they just didn't work the way we wanted them to. They were a little too opaque, and a lot of them were too stiff. They popped off when the paper was flexed. I should also mention that
the adhesion strength wasn't that great.
Yes, that's the reason. And so to do all of this testing, we were given a discarded comic book from the serials division at LC. So it was artificially aged by the preservation and research
Testing
division. Yes, thank you. It was from 1956, so it's a little bit later, but they put it in the aging oven for a while to kind of get the paper to a state that was closer to Captain America. And then we used that to do all of our testing, and so we have this lovely image of these different strips all laid out with the different adhesives. And we had settled on one particular kind of paper just to kind of knock one variable out, and it's a paper that we're familiar with. It's a machine-made Japanese paper. It's very thin, and we were comfortable using that. And then we were experimenting with these adhesives and then reactivating those adhesives with different solvents. And after a few test runs, we kind of decided that what we were using wasn't working. Sylvia had this idea to try Clusal M. Sylvia Albro, who's the senior paper conservator at LC. She had gotten a little baggie for us, and we made some up. It's something I had used previously at the Walters Art Museum, where I am now. So I was like, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
I think Clusal G is a common adhesive used mm-hmm. in book and paper conservation. But there is a paper out by Feller that Clusal M yellows a little bit more. So I think maybe that is why mm-hmm. people have shied away from M. But because of the higher molecular weight, higher tact, we thought we would give it a shot because we did like Clusal G. It was mm-hmm. just the adhesion wasn't strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
So but that's why. Yeah.
It was nice and opaque compared to the other.
Nice and transparent.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Thank you. It was nice and transparent compared to the other adhesives, which were a little more opaque. So we made up a new set of testing papers. And it's a simple process to make this stuff. You just paste it out and lay on your paper and it's done.
Yeah, we found that Clusal M worked.
Yes, it worked brilliantly with ethanol, which was wonderful for us because that really minimized the tideline formation. Really, it was just wherever there were two inks printed on top of each other, like green is
was sensitive
yellow
to
over
ethanol
blue or something.
And water.
Yeah.
But the other inks weren't sensitive to mm-hmm. ethanol, so that was the solvent we decided on using.
And we did end up toning the men's with acrylic. So we had a spray booth in Library of Congress, and we have a airbrush, and we could airbrush our acrylic paint mixtures onto the paper to tone them first. And I think that kind of gave that thin paper a little bit of extra structural integrity because it's so thin. And Klusel M is really viscous. We were only using a 2% solution. It's really quite thick.
And because the paper was white, mm-hmm. toning really helped to integrate the mend into the media.
Exactly. So we could put it over that colored printed material, and you can barely see it. It's really fantastic. I was delighted how well it worked.
Once the pages were mended, what was next for the comic books?
Because it needed to be handled, the decision was made that each sheet would be encapsulated in a polyester film. So it won't be in its original form. It will look a little bit different, but that is the decision that was made.
Mm-hmm.
We had to encapsulate each sheet. We actually had to make the Mylar encapsulation.
We
too.
Did.
That was
quite... I mean, this is high quality. These were custom cut by us, all by hand.
Welded with a...
Yes.
Ultrasonic
the
welder.
Ultrasonic welder made by Bill Minter himself.
Yes.
So we did have to cut the comic books down the center fold, which is a step beyond just binding. It's
not the ideal, but if we kept it in a bifolio form, you wouldn't have been able to read it in the right order binding.
Yes, okay. Well, let me clarify that. If we had left the comic books stapled together through the center fold, that fold would have eventually failed. I guarantee it, because the paper was just so fragile, and it had started to tear along that fold anyway. So it was really only a matter of time, and you can go back and mend those any number of times, but then you risk doing a lot of damage to the newsprint. And we had observed that this newsprint was so fragile that if it flexed at all, it really risked exacerbating the existing tears. So we really needed to keep them flat. And in order to do that, each page was separated from its conjoint, and then it was encapsulated between two sheets of Melanex that was much, much wider than it's smaller than 8.5 by 11, but it ends up, the finished book has a margin of, 11 centimeters? And that's where the pages flex. So you can turn each page without actually bending the page. You're bending the Melanex as you flip the page. And then the rigidity of the Melanex really supports the comic book page. So these can be accessed really, really easily by researchers. They do have to wear cotton gloves, but that's to prevent getting fingerprints on the Melanex, which is nice. It's got a nice margin around each page, too, so they have space to grip the Melanex without actually even getting a finger on the newsprint.
And how will this be rebound?
Each individual issue was given its own binding. We call it a scrapbook-style binding. We took this stack of newsprint pages in Melanex, and we actually stacked them and clamped them and then drilled holes with a drill to create sewing holes. And we used a linen thread to sew them together. A lot of people do it with posts, like metal posts, like regular scrapbooks, but these were actually a little too thin for that, so we had to improvise and use linen thread. And we made covers out of laminated binder's board and covered them in a lovely blue cloth that the curator picked out because she thought it was appropriate.
For Captain America.
Yes. And we made our own labels, and we bound each one in a big scrapbook. So one of the trade-offs is that it's gone from being this little tiny book object to six big, hefty scrapbooks. So the storage space has gone from this to this, which is something to consider when this kind of treatment is proposed for future objects.
Is this extreme treatment because of the extreme condition that these first six caps were, or is this something you foresee for other comics in the collection?
I think it was because it was an exceptional, the extreme condition. Because it was just so deteriorated, and the paper was just so brittle.
I think this is something that we would avoid if we could, and maybe it would depend on a case-by-case basis. If something was really popular but in bad condition, then this is the route they would ask us to go.
I know you said that these were frequently requested. So do you think the recent popularity of Captain America may have led to this treatment as well?
Yeah, I would
assume
so.
Entirely likely. Yeah, and these books are available to anyone who requests them.
Yes, yes. Again, because the Library of Congress is a public library.
Yes, government institutions.
So yes, it has to be accessible to everyone, really.
Mm-hmm.
So a very important question. While you're doing all this work, did you read them?
Some of them.
Yes.
We have a lot of great pictures of Hitler getting punched in the face.
Yes.
I am not a comic book fan, so it was a surprise for me to realize that there's the Captain America story, and then there's all these other characters
yeah,
that
Caveman
I have never...
Tuck.
It's a very 1941 cultural aesthetic that was eyebrow-raising from a 21st century perspective.
I mean, I didn't know Captain America's shield wasn't round.
Oh, yeah. It started out as not round.
Yeah, and
no, it's like by issue 3 or something.
Yeah,
it's a round.
And it was interesting to see how he was depicted.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the volumes, his jaw is more angular, like strong, whereas some of them are softer and...
There's that one issue where he disguises himself as a woman.
Oh, I didn't have... Oh, that,
that was one
yours.
Of mine, yeah.
But yeah, it was funny. He had eyebrows over his mask.
Really? I didn't notice that.
That's how they depicted it.
Yeah. Oh, we should also mention that, so there were 6 issues. Michiko and I each treated 2,
yes.
And then one each was treated by Claire and Sylvia. And we were constantly consulting with them on our work and the direction we were going and, you know, what was too much, where should we draw the line in terms of mending, and then ultimately what the goals were from this mending material. So I should also mention that the reason we presented this poster at this conference, which theme is innovation in treatment, is that not a lot of people will use Clusal-M because of the study that Michiko mentioned, but preservation, the PRTD lab at LC is doing more research on that adhesive, and we included some of that in our poster, but they're going to continue that to investigate the degradation qualities of Clusal-M, so it'll be really interesting to see what they find, and maybe more people will start using this stuff as a result.
You said this was an internship. Where are you headed, or where are you at now?
I'm at the Walters Art Museum in Baltimore working on medieval books.
I am a fellow at the MFA Boston in the Asian Conservation Studio.
Well, hopefully we can talk to each of you at those locations on projects you're doing in the future.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. If you would like more information, check out our podcast show notes at www.ncptt.nps.gov. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.